How rural America is turning into a digital desert. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, Demystifying the Digital Economy. I'm Molly Wood. For a while there, it seemed like tech might free us from the bonds of geography. In theory, fast internet meant new economic opportunity in any city, and telecommuting and video conferencing meant we could work from anywhere. But in reality, the geographic digital divide is as wide, and in fact even wider, than it ever was. Recently, Amazon decided its new headquarters could only go in big cities with a big tech workforce. That just solidified the fact that technology and the digital economy are less evenly distributed than ever. Mark Muro is a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution and lead author of the 2017 report, Digitalization and the American Workforce. He said things are getting worse.
The more digital your job is, the likelier you are to be paid well. But then places have very different digital work scales. At the top of the scale, you have these sort of coastal tech superstars that are filled also with highly skilled digital workers, highly educated workers. But then it really falls off, and you have many places that have a third the level of digital skills. So we're faced with this spectacle of potentially widening divides between places as the digital haves pull away from the digital have-nots.
And a report out of Brookings from last year notes that both companies and the government need to invest in training workers with more digital skills. Do you see signs of that happening?
Absolutely, at the state level. And I think because we have a tight labor market, more companies are seeing the importance of making sure their own workers move forward. The productivity and returns to companies are demonstrably better the higher their digital workforce skills levels. And we see some evidence of some improvement, but it's not been top of mind until only in the last year with, you know, really strong competitive demands for hiring, and more companies are beginning to try to do a better job on this.
Is there any way for the rest of the country to catch up, I guess, to these big metro areas, particularly when, you know, companies like Amazon sort of continue to concentrate the workforces in those places?
Yeah, I am somewhat pessimistic that the dynamics are towards a kind of lock-in and a kind of rich getting richer with technology and digital skills. But I think it's not entirely predetermined, and I think places can intervene by simply changing their skill base. And it's what they should be doing anyway. You know, rather than competing to bring firms in with big handouts and subsidies, thinking about the state of your workforce is the most important way to change.
I feel like you could see a fear, though, in both states and companies that if you train someone, they might leave for either a better place or a better company.
Yeah, I think that is a fear. Research shows that it's somewhat overblown. And meanwhile, there may be no option. At the regional level, people are moving less than they were. So while they may move within the region, there's less hopping to the next metropolis down the road or to Phoenix or what have you. But I think places that are able to see this as a shared resource and to see common benefit in improving the digital skills readiness of their whole city and region, I think will be winners in the long run. But you're absolutely right. There is that fear, and it may be exacerbated in a tight labor market such as we're seeing now.
Mark Muro is a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. New research from Microsoft this week said the internet digital divide is also even worse than we thought. The company said more than 162 million Americans don't have access at broadband speeds. And now for some related links. A little more detail on that Microsoft report presented Tuesday in Washington, D.C. What's really notable is how much its findings differ from the FCC, which says more like 24 million Americans don't have broadband internet. People in the industry have complained for years that the way the FCC determines whether an area has broadband is basically to say that if it's available to one block or one business or one city, then the whole region is considered covered. The Microsoft data also tied the lack of internet access directly to jobs. It said that in one county in northeastern Washington, only 2% of people have broadband internet access. And the unemployment rate there is twice as high as the rest of the state. By the FCC's measurements, by the way, that country is 100% covered. For some perspective on internet access, though, let's look at Cuba. Because starting today, Cuba's state telephone network will roll out a new 3G network that lets users who can afford it access the internet. Cuba is considered one of the least connected countries in the world, and even its Wi-Fi speeds hover around 1 megabit per second. The FCC says 25 megabits per second is the lower limit for what's considered broadband. Most people think it should be 100. Oh, and if you didn't get a chance to consume all 250 pages of the Facebook emails that were published yesterday by UK lawmakers, the upshot is this. The company knew exactly what it was doing pretty much all the time. It's absolutely ruthless at shutting out or buying out competition, and definitely did worry about the PR value of gathering ever more of your personal data, at least. Facebook says the emails were cherry-picked to make it look bad, by the way, by a company that's suing the social network, ironically because of Facebook's move in 2015 to limit how much third-party apps could collect about the friends of their users. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM. As a nonprofit news organization, Marketplace is on a mission to increase economic intelligence across the country. But to do that, we need your help. And when you donate today, your gift will go twice as far, thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from the Candida Fund. Give online at marketplace.org. And thanks.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.